Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, I'm a pretty broken person right now. This season has drug on, and it has been increasingly tough to fight the good fight with a smile. I've fought it nonetheless, but it has been a tough season from a number of angles, for a number of reasons. And I wasn't here last week. But I have a feeling I'm probably going to repeat about a third of what Luke said last week, because, man, I'm feeling it too. So I'm so stirred with a very simple message tonight. And that is, when everything's broken and you're still following God, it's okay. It doesn't have to look awesome. It doesn't have to be awesome. In fact, I think God is in charge of awesome. And if he's in charge of awesome, he's probably also in charge of broken. And so if it's awesome, then it's the Lord's awesome. And if it's broken, then congratulations, God. You've got a heaping hot mess and it's all yours. And so tonight, I've entitled the message to be a pleasing aroma. It's just this word that just is resonating in me in the midst of a difficulty that just won't seem to end. You know, many of you guys have been tracking with us now for a while, and man, it just seems like there's just no end to the difficulty of the season. But I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I believe in God, who is purposeful and who's on a throne, who's ruling the universe. And for those who are submitted to him, whatever life looks like, in our submission to him, we're right where we're supposed to be. And sometimes that looks awesome, and sometimes it doesn't. Now, if you're not submitted to him, then there's probably all kinds of things that are awful in your life that are your fault. And if that's the case, repent of those things, get back on track with the Lord, and then you can join the rest of us who are experiencing all sorts of pain that we didn't ask for. And I just, the word that the Lord is speaking to me is that our life is an offering to him. And that offering can either be a pleasing offering, a pleasing aroma, or that offering can be haphazardly wasted. Unintentionally wasted. I mean, we're going to live one way or the other, but I think we can live without intent and just kind of waste the struggles, waste even the good things that the Lord is bringing into our lives. The Romans 12, 1 verse, and then a verse out of 2 Corinthians are kind of helping me formulate my thoughts in my heart, and just kind of how I'm thinking and processing this season. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. This is your spiritual act of worship. That word sacrifice, pleasing, a pleasing aroma, a pleasing sacrifice. And here's Paul talking to the church of Rome, and he's saying, I want you, of your own choice, of your own decision, I want you to choose to be a pleasing sacrifice to God. I want you to focus on the Lord in such a way that you would live your lives as a sacrifice. So, you know, Paul, he's a guy who has been in jail at times. He's a guy who's been stoned at times. He's been a guy who's been well taken care of at other times and celebrated in places and loved and cherished. He's been shipwrecked and got, you know, beat up and all kinds of stuff. And he says, despite the circumstances, brothers, I want you to live your life, whether you're in jail or free, whether you're living large or living small, whether things are good or things are bad, or you're confused or you got total clarity, I want you to live your life as a sacrifice, as an offering, holy and pleasing to God, a sacrifice that's pleasing to him. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is really what life is about, is to live as a pleasing sacrifice to him. He says it again elsewhere in 2 Corinthians 2. He says, thanks be to God who always leads us as captives And he uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. Again, I think we can waste it. Paul says that we are that pleasing aroma. I think we can waste it by being preoccupied, by not being thankful, by not being intentional, by not recognizing that the life that we've been given is to live as an offering before him. But the purpose of our fellowship with him, the purpose even in our struggles, even in our blessings, the purpose of our life is to live as a sacrificial offering to the Lord, an aroma that's pleasing to him. I look at it, I just think of it as a free will offering. There's this offering that the Lord desires from us called our life, and he wants us to live it for him. He wants us to give ourselves over to him. And the more that I'm focusing, or the more that I'm thinking about this, and the more that I'm distraught in this current season for a number of reasons, the more I'm realizing he is 100% in charge of the circumstances of the offering, and we are 100% in charge of the attitude of the offering. He's so in charge of the circumstances. He could make it a really sweet-smelling offering, or he could throw a skunk up there and burn that same skunk on the same place he was burning incense and myrrh a minute ago. The Lord is in charge of the circumstances, but we're in charge of the attitude. We're in charge of whether we waste it or not. We're in charge of the response of our heart to live before him. I just want to say this again because it's so important. I say this to myself as a pep talk often. And so I'm letting you into my little pep talk prayer life here. And I think it'll do you good. It always does me good. If you are in a posture of obedience before the Lord, now if you're not, repent and fix that. But I think I'm talking to a room where most of you probably are. If you're in a posture of obedience to what you understand, there might be 100 things you don't understand. Well, you can't do nothing about that. Lord, bless us, help us, teach us, instruct us. But if you're in obedience to 100% of what you understand, the Lord leading this way, the scripture says this, we do this, we don't do that. If you're in obedience, just trying to follow Jesus, and you're seeking God's will, not your own will. I mean, that'll get you in trouble. If you've told the Lord, I'm going to do whatever I want, I don't really care what you want, it's all about me, well, then you need deliverance from that. But if I think the majority of us in this room, I think probably we're in a position where we're after the Lord's will for our life. We've matured enough to stop trying to tell God what life is going to look like and make him do what he should do for us, what we've said he's going to do. I mean, that doesn't work anyway. Most of the way, if any of us have matured past that, the way we've matured past that is we realized that didn't even work. And we went, oh, well, if it doesn't work, I guess it best just stop. I think, though, I'm talking to a room who's mostly seeking God's will for their life. And if you're praying, if you're a person of prayer and you're going, God, I want what you want. I'm talking to you. I want your plan. I like you. If you're keeping the dialogue open with the Lord, and the reason that that's important is because sometimes we can find ourselves outside of the will of the Lord, and by talking to God, he'll correct us. He'll put us right back where we need to be. That's helpful. So if you're praying to the Lord, you want the Lord's will, and you're willing. Here's a key. And you're willing to do whatever it takes, whatever he asks. You're willing. Lord, you can move me. You can keep me here. You can give me this. You can take that. You can do whatever you want. If you're at a posture, if your heart posture is obedient, prayerful, willing, then you are currently in the perfect will of God for your life at this present moment. No matter what things may look like, no matter your circumstances. Now, if there are some things on that checklist that you need to go back and you need to deal with, awesome. That can help get you into alignment. But if all those things check, willing, Lord, I'll do whatever. Seeking God, God, I want your will. Talking to him about it, obedient to what you understand. If you're in that, you're right where you're supposed to be. And you're a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Because you've been obedient, because you're seeking him, because you're doing your best that you can to follow after him, and that's just of your own choosing. Because at any point, we've been given this free will, this ability to choose. And at any point, you could decide, I don't want to obey anymore. So the fact that you're obeying is a free will offering to the Lord. At any point, you could say, I don't want to seek God's will anymore. I want to seek my own. And the fact that you're seeking his will, it's a free will offering. You've been given that choice. It's pleasing to the Lord. That you're praying, you could choose to just be silent. I don't even want to talk to the Lord about this because I don't want to know what he has to say. And as soon as I know what he has to say, then I'm responsible for it. So I don't even want to talk to him about it. If you choose to not pray, if you ever get to that point, that's a decision you could make. But the fact that you're praying and asking him, it's a free will offering. It's a decision you made. I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to keep talking to him. And the fact that you're saying, Lord, I'll do whatever. Whatever. Go left, go right, go up, go down, move here, buy that, don't buy this. Go with a lot, go without, whatever, whatever you want. The fact that you're in that heart posture, it's pleasing to him. It's a free will offering because you could choose to do the other. A free will offering. It's an aroma unrelated to your circumstances. Having nothing to do with your circumstances. Having everything to do with your heart posture. Having everything to do with the way you posture yourself before the Lord. I think about this, and this all, like everything I just said, makes sense to me, and I can feel it, and I can do it, and I can, it's reasonable to me when things are great, okay, or just not that bad. Like everything I just said, it's like, yeah, okay, I mean, when things are great, or even if they're just okay, or even if they're not that bad, but they're not that bad. Everything in me is like, yeah, I can do that. I can believe for that. Here's the hard part, is when my life is a total wreck, it just seems impossible to me that God could like that. That God could call my wreck of a life a pleasing aroma. It's like, Lord, I think there's dookie on the altar. This is a very, very bad smell. Dookie. The Lord says, that's my dookie. When things are good, when they're just okay, or even when they're just bad, I can somehow take solace in these statements that I made. And believe that it's a pleasing offering before the Lord because I'm trying and I'm just going for it. It just seems so hard to me. Maybe I'm the only one. It just seems so hard when things are so broken, when things are just so bad, that God could possibly find that pleasing. And he does. Your circumstances are not dictating the aroma. It's the attitude on the altar, not the circumstances. It's the attitude that is on the altar that makes the aroma pleasing to the Lord. And when your attitude is good and is right, the Lord is pleased with you. This last season has been awful. It's been terrible. I have felt so weak. I felt like I had nothing to give God. I like to give God stuff. I've always been able to give him stuff before. This last season, I felt like I had to take stuff back. I just felt so weak. It was like, I was joking around with Luke the other day, and I was like, 2% is the new 100%. I'll give you all I have. All 2%. Because you stole the other 98. I don't have the other 98% to even give you. You already have it. I got nothing to give. I got 2%, and it's bruised and broken. It smells like dookie, and it's all yours. I've been angry at God about how he's doing things. Just this last season, I've just been angry. Like, God, why? Stop it. Just stop. Had to work through that anger. Oh. I've watched all my friends go through significant difficulty, and I haven't been able to do anything to help them. It's been one of the hardest things for me. watch my friends whom I love going through real difficulty, and I'm like, yeah, I know, praying for you, bro. And then I get another text message for somebody else, so I stop praying for the first one, which I prayed for all 3 seconds for. Now I got this next one. Yeah, I'm praying for you, bro. Sorry, sis. Stinky. Dookie 2%, right there with you. It's terrible. It's been awful. It's been an awful, awful season. But the Lord's not looking at the circumstances that I'm defining awful by. He's looking at the response of the heart. The aroma has nothing to do with the circumstances, has everything to do with the attitude. I've been so disappointed again and again and again this last season. I have been so disappointed. I thought the Lord was going to do this, and he didn't. I was so disappointed because I believed in faith, and I stood before God and did what I thought was right. It didn't go the way I wanted or the way I thought he said it was going to go. I've been so disappointed. My heart has been so disappointed in the way things have gone. I've struggled with depression and lethargy, things that are not my MO. It's just not how I am. I'm not wired that way. I've struggled. I felt so oppressed and beat up. That 2% dookie thing, it may sound funny to you. It's so real to me. I'm going to journal that tomorrow. It has been awful, awful. I've stumbled in my commitments. I got these commitments I want to do for God, this stuff that I want to, you know, take ground, you know, in my Bible reading and fasting. All this. I've like broken all my commitments. I broke them all and just laughed at them. I've been like, that is a funny, funny commitment, because that isn't going to work in this season. That isn't going to work at all. Have to work through the shame of that, the desire to want to serve God and not even be able to. Just having to work through all that. In the midst of it all, I've had a bored heart. Just bored. Just want to disconnect. Like, want to go on a 52-week movie spree. If I'm awake, I'm watching a movie. Not going into work, not answering the phone, not even looking at those text messages everybody needs me to pray for them about. I'm just going to do a 52-week movie spree. I'm going to watch them all. Every movie that's ever been made. I feel my heart so bored and just wanting to, like, disconnect from all of what's happening around me that's so painful. Like, I heard a doctor once say, if it hurts, don't do it. You know, talking probably about pain, you know, something like maybe if there's something wrong with your body, you're like, well, if I move my arm this way, it hurts. Well, then don't move your arm that way. Like, man, I feel like if I took that advice right now, I'd go on the 52-week movie spree. If it hurts, don't do it. Shoot. That's 24/7 right now. That's all these pressures and difficulties from every angle. I would be able to quote every movie. Just think of the perks here, folks. I'd never miss a joke. Man. I have felt like I can't do it and I can't keep going. I felt that way. Now, you know that's a lie. I mean, show me that Bible verse. And you can't do it and you're stuck and you can't keep going. Done. Die. Find me that verse, because it's not in there. But I felt that way. Felt like I can't keep going. Like, it's too much. The Lord says he won't give us more than we can handle, but he will always give you what you could handle. Just, you couldn't take one more pound on your back on that hike, but he's put 72 of those 45-pound weights on your back. You couldn't take one more just straw of weight. Life. Gee. But you know what? I never gave up. And I'm not going to give up. And I think that's all he wants. I hope he doesn't want anything more. Because he's getting Dookie 2%. That's all I got. I hope all he wants is just for me not to quit. Because that's all I got. I can do that. I mean, I know I can because I already did it. It's like, I mean, I did it through that. I can do it through this or through that. Or I mean, if all I got to do is not quit, if that's really all I got to do, I think I can give him that. And if the circumstances really are in his control, and you know what? I know they are. I've seen sweet seasons. I've seen cool stuff. I've seen kindness and all the issues that I'm struggling with right now and in my circumstances. I've seen times where those things weren't there. And we're in their place, we're blessings. He's in charge of the circumstances. Now again, it's different if you're raging against God and you're telling him you're going to do whatever you want. You probably found yourself in all sorts of circumstances that God did not intend for you. And those bad things are your fault. I've been there. But if we're seeking God, God can send us good things. He can send us bad things. He can send us boring things. He can send us all kinds of seasons and times. It's his hot mess. Your life is a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord, and you're not in charge of the circumstances of it. You're in charge of the attitude, and that's the aroma, the attitude. It's so simple. Like, I think if we could just keep Christianity this simple, I might make it. The attitude. I found a verse. It made me very, very happy. I was looking for different verses talking about some of these themes, and I stumbled upon this one, and it made me so, so happy. Let's pull up Leviticus 22:20 through 23. Now, this is about all the different offerings, okay? And there's certain regulations for the offerings, all right? He's talking about the different offerings, and he's saying it's very important for these offerings that you don't bring me janky goods, that you don't bring me defective animals. It's very important. These offerings are real deal. They're very important. It says, do not bring anything with a defect because it will not be accepted on your behalf. When anyone brings from the herd or flock a fellowship offering to the Lord to fulfill a special vow, it must be without defect or blemish to be acceptable. Do not offer to the Lord the blind or the injured or the maimed or anything with warts or festering or running sores. Do not place any of these on the altar as a food offering presented to the Lord. You may, however, present as a freewill offering that which is deformed or stunted. Now, if you want your sins forgiven, this isn't going to work. You're gonna need to repent and follow the process. But if you want to offer the Lord a freewill offering, it can even be broken and janky and warts and Dookie 2%. You can offer to the Lord a freewill offering, your offering, this freewill offering that Paul says he wants for all of us to live our lives as a pleasing aroma to the Lord, to offer him our lives as a spiritual sacrifice. Says you can offer to the Lord a freewill offering, and it can even be defective. And God will receive it as a freewill offering. I can give him a defective freewill offering in this season. That's what I feel like I got. I got this broken, maimed, it's not even alive, it's a dead animal. This funky looking hybrid Frankenstein carcass of an animal that I'm about to offer to the Lord. It already stinks. Festering, warty offering. And the Lord says, freewill offering? I'll take it. This is good because it's all I got. It's the last thing I got too. It's Frankenstein mess of a thing. It's all yours. The Lord says he'll receive it as a freewill offering. I just love that. I'm like, Lord, this is my life right now. This blemished, defective animal. But you'll receive it as a free will offering. You told us to live our lives that way. Sometimes your circumstances are going to be awesome, and sometimes they're not. And the Lord calls your life, the whole of it, start to finish. Good season, bad season. Double awesome, double bad. He calls the whole span of your life in Christ a free will offering that you get to choose what sort of aroma comes up on that altar. Stanky? Or pleasing aroma? That pleasing aroma has nothing to do with your circumstances and everything to do with your attitude. I just look at this and I go, man, our life is whatever he wants it to be. He wants the most glory out of us. And I'm so glad that he didn't ask me to be God. Because I would do things so differently. I would have everything be awesome all the time. And surely that would bring God the most glory. He didn't do it that way. You know, I look at Mary, Luke 1:38. Things were very uncertain for Mary. Very, very uncertain. You got to recognize, this lady gets pregnant, she shouldn't have a husband. There are zero persons on the planet that are going to believe her story. And she's supposed to keep this baby and take all the ridicule. Things look very, very uncertain for her. Very uncertain. I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled to me. It's about her being impregnated by the Holy Spirit. First time that's ever happened. When things were very uncertain. So Mary is taking her life and she's saying, you know what? You want me to look scandalous to the planet? Okay. It's your life. I don't know that I would do it that way. I kind of think it's a bad idea. But this is what you want to do with your life? Okay. You're in charge. If you like that, if that brings you glory, let's do it. Job, at his worst, Job 2:10, things were awful for this man. They were awful, awful. And he sure knew what it was like to have things be awesome, awesome. And at the peak of his awful, he replied to his wife, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And in all this, Job did not sin in what he said. You know what? God's going to send you trouble from time to time. That's okay. Shall we accept good and not trouble when the sender is the same person? God? God sending good? Oh, God, I like it when you send good. Yeah. Enjoy it. Trouble's coming. Figure out a way to like that too. Wisdom of Job here. This is a man afflicted. He says to his wife, woman, what's wrong with you? Shall we accept good from God? It's God. Let him send whatever he wants to send. If he wants to resurrect the dinosaur and have it eat us. If it brings him glory, if God, who's all wise, thinks it's a good idea, then let him do it. Tyrannosaurus, here I am. I mean, this is Job at the peak of his pain. And he says, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? It's his life. God, what do you want this life to look like? Probably is not going to look like what we thought it was going to look like. At least I haven't yet had a season that landed like I thought it was gonna. Maybe a couple of broad strokes, but not the details. That's okay. It's his life. It's his. It's his. You don't get to decide the circumstances of the offering. All you get to decide is the attitude. And you get to decide that. every day, every season, every disappointment, every trouble. When things were good for David, Psalm 16:6 says this: "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." Season of life, David reflecting on things, says, "God has been sweet to me. Oh, he's done me right. He's given me so much money. He's given me so much influence." I mean, David was the most influential dude in his day and the richest. He said, "I've got it awesome. My armies can't be beat. My nation is prospering. I got to build this 24/7 house of prayer in my backyard." I mean, David's got it, all this stuff. He goes, "Lord, this is what you gave me. Awesome." But look what he does in Psalm 27, 13, and 14 when he's facing attacks and potential death. Same guy, different season. Psalm 27, 13 through 14, same guy. Things are awful. Good chance he's going to die. "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." He's not talking to you. He's talking to himself. He's saying, "Oh, soul that's in distress, trust in him. Wait for him. This is God." He's allowing these things. He's permitting these things. Sometimes he promotes. Sometimes he tears down. Sometimes it's sweet. Sometimes it's bitter. I just don't want to live in the camp anymore that everything bitter is the devil. And everything good is God. A lot of good, the people call good, that the devil gave them. And a lot of bad, a lot of bitter, that was God. Shall we accept good from the Lord and not trouble? Not all trouble is the devil. In fact, I'm wondering if maybe it's only about half. There's a lot of trouble that's God's trouble for his purposes. You know, God is way more interested in you than the devil. I mean, so you got to figure he's a lot more involved in your life than Satan. He sends us trouble. It's part of his pleasing sacrifice that he wants. Not in charge of those circumstances. Just our attitude. Accepting his plan. You know, whatever the Lord sends, I just want to accept it. And I want to partner with it even. I don't even want to just allow it to happen around me and me watch it go by and try to wait it out like I'm in a foxhole trying to wait for the battle to end. I want to partner with it. Now again, my partnership might look pretty weak. You know, when you're like really sick, maybe you've been that way, you know, for days or maybe even a week, super sick, and it's a hot summer day, I'm not suggesting you go out and mow that lawn like you normally do. It might be a day to have somebody else mow that lawn or just let that grass grow. When you're weak, you can't do what you could do when you were strong. When things are wrong, when God is troubling you, things don't look the way they looked 5 minutes ago, last season, last year. It's okay. The Lord is the one that arranges the offering on the altar. He is the one in charge of those circumstances. All we can choose is what sort of attitude we're going to have with the cards that we've been dealt. I want to partner with him. The problem is we really, really don't like to do that. Me, I don't like to do that. That's what I want to do. But what I really like to do is run away from pain. What I really like to do is try to make the bad man go away. Whatever it is that's hurting, whatever it is that's painful, whatever it is that isn't what I want, my tendency is to make my main focus making the bleeding stop. Even the Lord sending the trouble. Try to bind that trouble in the name of Jesus. Find yourself with Jesus just shaking his head at you. It doesn't work that way. I sent it. You can bind it all you want, friend. I'm the one that sent you that trouble. Oh, but man, our hearts just war against that. And then we've got all the confusion of, well, is it really the Lord, or did I do something wrong? Or I just look at Job's counselors. All these guys gather around Job, and they keep trying to convince Job he did something stupid. They keep trying to tell Job he's a sinner, and surely the reason he's got all this stuff in his life is because he did something wrong. Those same voices come today. Those same voices rise up within us and come from our friends and our family, other believers who aren't in a season of trouble at that moment, I might add. They would like to tell you, well, it's because you did this wrong, you did this. And if those things are true, then fix those things. But as soon as you fix those things, if the trouble remains, that wasn't the problem. The problem is God. God sent you the trouble. And he has perfect wisdom. He has perfect wisdom. You know, when you sharpen like a knife, what you're really doing is cutting off pieces of the knife, little particles, in order to make it sharp. I don't know about you. I don't like it when stuff gets cut off of me. You ever have a wart removed? I haven't, but I hear it's painful. Have stuff cut off of you. I don't like having stuff cut off of me. I want to avoid that at all costs. But to partner with it, oh, that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to partner with him. And it doesn't mean that we can't pray for relief in the circumstance. Man, the Psalms are just filled with that. David or another psalmist in the middle of a difficult situation going, God, help, help, bring deliverance, bring me strength, help me, encourage me. All that stuff, those are good prayers. I just don't want our life to be about escaping things God is doing. God is trying to bring into our life. God is trying to use to refine us, to get rid of things, to make us a better person, to make us more useful for his kingdom and his purposes, to ultimately give us so much more joy. Happiness is a lot of times defined by circumstance. Joy transcends circumstance. And I like good circumstances, but I'd rather have joy. And that joy's got to be fought for. And that joy comes through overcoming. You know, we're not like him. I'll give you guys a couple of verses just to remind us of who it is we're interacting with. Isaiah 55, verse 8, 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord, as the heavens are higher than the earth. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He's always accomplishing so much more than we can see. His ways aren't our ways. I just wouldn't do it this way. If I was trying to disciple me, I would do it different. If I was trying to work junk out of my life and my heart, I would do it different. If I was trying to prepare me for the things that the Lord has for me in the future, I would do it differently, and it's a darn good thing I'm not in charge. My ways aren't his ways. My thoughts aren't his thoughts. My version is always going to be so low. So off. So human, so frail and faulty. And the Lord says, I'm perfect in wisdom. My thoughts, they're in another realm from your thoughts. The ways that I interact with mankind are so much higher than how you relate to one another and how you relate to me. My ways and my thoughts, my wisdom, my understanding, my counsel, my plan and my purpose, they're so much higher. Well, God, I can't see it. Well, that's faith. You just got to believe. He's in charge. Things aren't going the way you want. Things are confusing. Things are difficult. Things are awesome. Things are awesome. We take from the Lord what the Lord gives us. And we just trust that His ways are better. And what life looks like today, if we're submitted, prayerful, and willing, obedient, then it's exactly what He wants it to look like. There is no fault in this logic. The problem is sometimes our circumstances are screaming, and all we can do is hear the voice of our circumstance instead of the voice of wisdom that says, I'm seeking God, I'm repentant, I'm prayerful, I'm willing. What else can I do? What, I disobey God to fix this problem? Whatever. Sometimes our circumstances are screaming, and we need to shut those things up so we can hear the voice of wisdom that just says, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Are you following me? Try, Lord. Are you obedient to what you know? Yeah. Then you're right where I want you, and where I want you is on an altar where I burn flesh. So yeah, it hurts a little. Don't move. Deuteronomy 31:6. Such an important word for us to know. I don't mean to read it. I don't mean to quote it. I mean to feel it. I mean to get it in us so that we believe it. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. I'll just tell you, having experienced God's favor in some seasons of my life, seen God do cool things, and take care of me, and answer prayers like that, and move and shift things and give me opportunities, and having seen some of that, this past season feels like He has forsaken me. But that's not true. You know, sometimes you just need to tell your feelings to shut up. The heart is deceitful above all things, incurable. We can't trust our feelings. The Word of God says He will never leave us. And look at that. He goes with you. He's with us in the circumstance. You confused? You in a season where things just like, I don't get it. I'm confused. He's with you. Well, yeah, He's not talking. He doesn't want to talk right now. If He wanted to talk, you'd be hearing it. If you're asking Him, talk, 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 Lord, talk, talk, Lord, here I am, talk, talk, and He's not talking, He's talking. And He's saying nothing, and He's doing it on purpose. You in a season where things are tough? It's like, man, I can't get anything to go my way. This is broken. This isn't working. I'm afflicted in my body. My finances are a mess. This relationship is all messed up. I can't make this work. I can't fix this. My business isn't going away. I got fired from my job. Are you in a situation where your circumstances are? He's right there with you. And if you're seeking Him and you're doing what you can, those circumstances that seem murderous, God did. He allowed it. Whether He allowed it or did it, it happened. He knew it, and He was standing right next to you, and there wasn't a thing you could have done about it. You're right where you're supposed to be. You could get fired, and it'd be God. You could have your house burned down, and it'd be God. Job saw a handful of troubles that I don't like thinking about. And the Lord had purpose in it all. He'll never leave you He'll never forsake you. He's right there. He's right there. He might be quiet, but it doesn't mean he's not there. The circumstances might even be increasingly more difficult. It doesn't mean he's not there. He's right there. He will never leave you. He goes with you. He goes with you. The only person that can make God go away is you. Nobody else, no circumstance. The only person that can put distance between you and God is you. No circumstance, no person, no jail cell. Only you. So just don't do that, and then you can trust God is super duper close. Even when you don't feel it and he's playing the quiet game, he loves that game. It's his favorite. It doesn't mean he's not there. He's right there. And he will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. So he's as close to you now as the day you felt him the nearest. He's as close to you now as that moment that things were clicking and going so well. He's as close to you now. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, submit to him. And he'll straighten it out. This season, whatever it looks like, and next season, whatever it looks like, and more than likely as time goes on, some of us are going to be having a sweet spot and some of us are going to be having a difficulty, and the next season it might flip-flop. It's just life. Whatever the season is, don't lean on your own understanding, your own ability, your own reasoning. Just submit. Man, this is the awesome season where I get to be a millionaire. Awesome. Oh, this is the season where he took it all and threw me in jail. Dang. All right, well, it's fun while the money was here. Submit. Submit. He'll make your path straight. He'll work them out. Just follow him. You know, I just know that what he wants more than anything is just for us to say yes and to keep saying yes and to not quit and to give him that little smoldering 2%. And sometimes 2% is 100%. Sometimes it's even 110%. You just give him what you got. The circumstances, you can't change them. Or you already would have. If you could have changed them in the will of God, you already would have. But we can affect our attitude. And sometimes all he's looking for in our attitude, all he's looking for sometimes, and you'll know it when you get there, is just don't quit. Just don't stop. Just keep loving him. Keep saying yes. Even in the midst of the fire, the trial, the confusion, just don't quit. And keep saying yes. Each of you is going to hear the Lord say things to you, lead you. Maybe it's to a job or to move into that apartment building instead of this, or to buy that house, or to take on this task, or to stop doing this thing, start doing this thing, to get this education. He's going to lead you subjectively. All of you got the Holy Spirit. If you love Jesus, you got the Spirit of God living in you. He's going to lead you. He's going to tell you stuff. You got to stay faithful to the stuff he tells you. Just like you got to stay faithful to the Word of God in the Bible. If he leads you and you know the way you ought to go, if you don't do it, that's sin. But sometimes taking those steps is stepping into fire. And I just want to tell you, as someone who's going through fire, it's okay. And the Lord leads his people in fire sometimes. And it's okay. Just don't quit. Give him your yes today. If you can change the circumstances inside the will of God, great. I just think most of the time you won't be able to. Your life isn't the sum of your circumstances. It's the sum of your yes. It's the sum of the attitude on that altar the arrangement of those articles on that altar, the arrangement of that offering, the state of that offering is the Lord's. With the attitude, that's ours.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.